Not true. All right, here we are.
We're on page 5, lesson 5. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the regenerating and quickening power of the Holy Spirit. We left last time off at 2b. It says, so it is with our understanding at regeneration. The mind is the same in the unregenerate as in the regenerate. In other words, it's the same brain. But the regenerated person has been so quickened by the Holy Spirit that they are now able to take in spiritual objects and act toward them. And we looked at those verses. But I want to give you an analogy that just came into my mind. I didn't even know how to swim when I joined the Navy. Okay? I knew nothing about ships. I knew nothing about anything. I just said, well, it's better than sleeping in a tent and getting dirty and getting shot. I joined the Navy. Worst that happens is you drown, and that doesn't take very long, and I understand it's not too painful. So all those thoughts went through my mind when I was 17. So what we're saying here is that the brain is the same, but the influence that is induced into the brain and the power that is given the individual through faith, all of those things are new things. In the same way, when I went into the military, Navy, I did not know how to put out a fire on a ship. I did not know how to swim. I did not know the uniform code of military justice. I did not know how to stand at attention or how to salute. I knew nothing. But by the end of the first 2 months, I was so influenced, and I was so, and all those things were so infused into my life, they were automatic. A fireman, a police officer, anybody that does anything has the same brain, but once they're under that influence of whatever it is that they're trained in, what ends up happening is it's part of their life, and it's simple. And the same thing is true with your faith. You always had faith in something, but when that regeneration took place, that new faith, that new understanding, that new mind that you had of Christ, that new heart that you had for God was a positive influence that started to guide your life in all things. It's exactly the same way. So what I'm saying here in this handout is that God uses what he already gave us, except he induces into it a new principle, a new influence. New material, see. This new spiritual power to see and understand spiritual things is a divine quality that is gifted and added when we're born again to our original faculties. I want to tell you that the things that you have, everything that you have that in you that is spiritual is a gift. There's no natural, people say, well, you were probably a natural this or a natural that. That's why you're a pastor, you're compassionate, that's why you love people, blah, blah. Not true. Everything is a gift. I may have had the ability to speak before. I may have had the ability to motivate people before. But I didn't have the influence and the power that I yield today simply because of that new influence and that regeneration. And the same applies to each and every one of you and certain things that you do every day. You did them before, but you do them now with a new principle within your hearts. And that's the key to remember. Your heart is the same, but now you have a heart for Christ. And that changes everything, your whole life. Can you think of one thing in this world? Okay. Besides that, can you think of anything in this world that is more life-changing than becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ? Anything. Childbirth doesn't change as much as being Christ. Nothing. A new car. A new wife. Winning lotto. Nothing. And you know the reason why? Because everything I just mentioned is temporary. And what you have is eternal. Nothing is greater. Not only does it change you here, but you take that change with you into a life that lasts forever. Psalm 16:11, right? Yep. At that right hand are pleasures forevermore. Yeah.
It's really true because your motivations are no longer about your best interest or about his best interest. You're doing things the way you're supposed to. And they turn out to be your best interest before you knew what they were.
Exactly.
Which is really good.
As a matter of fact, what you just said, just it just occurred to me that Adam and Eve was they were created perfect. Sin marred that perfection. Regeneration removes the mar and the wrath. Now, you're not perfect like they were, in the sense being that you're sinless, but you are as close to that in this realm as God would have you be to help you. And actually, in my view, what all this is for is to show you or give you an opportunity to show God how much you love him. That's all that I think this is. And in the processes of doing that, you're growing more and more Christ-like every day.
And in reality, that's for us too.
It's all for us.
Because, you know, he already knows, you know, we're the ones that, you know, we say we love him, but he proves whether we really do or not.
And by the way, just to say that it's been said, everything we do, including our prayers, our worship, the way we glorify him, nothing changes God. You have to understand that. Nothing changes God. He's unchangeable. He's immutable, right? So, all right. So now,
speaking of the gifts, I remember in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts.
Yes.
And it said, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, as he gives them to each one, just as he determines.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, now he's talking about in that, what's the context of that?
All the spiritual gifts.
Okay. You know? But now let's take a primary, let's take a secondary.
Yes, 1 Corinthians
12. Early church. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12.
Has a big part to do with early church.
Yeah, yeah. But what's the secondary, what's the applicable action for us? What's the applicable, in other words, that the primary context of that was for the first church, the early church, okay? And that's the primary context. But the secondary context, principle of that.
The body.
The body of Christ.
Right.
In general, right? With one exception. We don't have those spiritual gifts per se, but every divine gift is a gift.
Some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't speak in tongues. We don't have the power of
teaching, preaching.
Yeah.
Service, you know.
I love being with a bunch of people that are right on spot. I mean, I can't waver just that much before. Wait a minute. I like that. That's good. That's good. Shows you guys haven't been sleeping.
A church really couldn't function if the vast majority of people didn't have the gift of helps. I mean, look at all the stuff that gets done around here.
Well, what about in a dead church?
Yeah.
What about in a dead church?
No, I mean, talking about the gifts in this church.
Yeah, but what about in a dead church? Don't they help? Don't they have all those things, compassion?
Yeah, that's not spiritual gifts for them. I mean, their motivation is totally different.
Yeah, the motivation is from the Spirit.
They're dead.
It's not from the Spirit.
Why is their motivation wrong?
Well,
they don't have the Spirit.
Okay.
I think it's more self-centered.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. It's I put it this way. I'd say self-indulgent. When people do things for other people because it makes them feel good and they cut God out of the equation, that's the difference. What we do to glorify God. What I do for each and every one of you, I do for you, but ultimately I do it first for God because that's part of my responsibility and it's part of your responsibility that whatever you do first for God and then for that other person. And the reason is the same reason why when we sin, we need to go to God and ask God for and confess it to God, because it's only a sin because we broke his rules. We didn't break Ron's rules or Tom's rules. We broke God's rules. And so that's what confession and repentance is all about. So we need to always remember that. And I got to tell you something. One of the themes that the Holy Spirit just keeps putting on my heart, and I'm going to be telling you this every time I open my mouth perhaps, is that God is your blessing. Too many people, too many churches think all these other things that happen. You know, this happened to me and I got that and this happened and God blessed me with that. That's true. But the ultimate blessing is Christ himself, period. When he says, I am the vine and you are the branches, that is the blessing. Everything else that comes off the branches is a result of the major blessing that was you united in Christ.
That's John 17:3.
Read it.
It says, this is Christ's prayer, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Amen. Amen. All right. Number two, Therefore, admit. Oh, okay, thank you. For example, the eyes of the saints after their resurrection will be enhanced to see angels which are now invisible. Right? Anybody here seen an angel lately?
Nope.
Okay. Besides Pam. I don't. All right. Number two. Therefore, it may be called a new eye or a spiritual eye. Remember Elisha's servant? He couldn't see, but he received sight. Likewise, the saint's entire body will be raised at the resurrection as a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15:44. And by the way, as we're tuning down to that particular passage, I would remind you, it might be a wonderful idea sometime to just sit down in 1 Corinthians 15 and just read it, meditate on it, think about it, and praise God for it.
That's what I was telling you, 1555.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Corinthians, not Romans.
It was, yeah. Well, since you brought it up, David, read 1 Corinthians 15, 54, just, 44, just okay. To cement it in your head.
Okay.
43.
Okay.
Actually, 42.
So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, and what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body.
Okay, so let me just give you another a good example of that. When you take and you dig a hole in the ground and you plant a seed, that seed dies and yet gives birth at the same time. The seed is no more the seed. It doesn't exist after except in the form of a plant. And that plant, as it grows, when it matures, it produces a fruit. The same thing is applicable here with almost everything. But with us, it's the same. Adam and Eve, 1 and 2, were perfect. There was no death, there was nothing. But when they sinned, this principle of resurrection came into being after they died. To God, anyway, they fell. And what that means is that God made you imperishable. Because of sin, you were made imperishable. But that imperishable body is like a seed. And while you're in the seed, you have two legs, a mind, and you have a life. And in that life, you're to gather together all the things that you need to bear fruit. And then when you die, that's when that fruit is produced. Well, you produce it in your own life and in other people's lives, but that's when the bulk of that fruit is harvested in heaven, when you're there and you put on a new, you go from the plant to the imperishable. In other words, you have an imperishable body and you last forever. If you notice, the Bible is written in such a way that you got to remember it was written for people over thousands of years that had different things. I mean, if you would have put the word computer in there, or if you would have put the word in there, how would you describe evil? What better than dark and lightness? That never changes. God used certain words and certain things, plants, because we always have to have plants, in order to bridge every generation from Adam and Eve all the way to this to Paxton. When Paxton grows up, he can read this, and although it was written thousands of years before he was even conceived, okay, except in the mind of God, he can read this and understand it the same way they did back then. That's why it's inspired. Another reason why it's inspired, because everything is easy to understand. And for somebody to say, well, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, and I've had people have an NIV. If you can't understand the NIV, guess what? You don't want to understand it, because nothing is more milquetoast and clear than the NIV. Not saying it's bad, Wink, but it's just very clear, very simple to understand. So the nice thing about it is that we know that. And when you have the mind of Christ, what you do is you take the simple principles that God used and you convert them, like the sun, the plants convert sunlight into energy. You take that and you convert this into spiritual energy for yourself. And it gets you through your day, it gets you through your life, and ultimately it produces fruit, much fruit that you bear for your Father in heaven. It's that simple. Meat and potatoes simple.
Yeah, the problem is that usually that we don't understand, is that we won't understand.
Or we don't want to understand.
Yeah, meaning will.
Yes, yes. No, I couldn't say that any better. All right. Let's go to first. Oh, we did that. So we're on page 6. Okay, you pass it this way.
Thank you.
And we'll let what's his name, David, pass it that way. And here's one for you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. Page 6. Coming down to the wire with this. By the way, as a little side note, if you next time you're on Watertown this week, pick up the Town Times and you'll get to read a nice article on broken cisterns. And I was really surprised that the paper did not edit it in any way, because I spoke probably more about hell and the lake of fire than I did anything else. I thought for sure that would be edited. But
that's in this issue?
A wonderful thing, and I pray that the Lord would use that to awaken some people, because there's a lot of people out there that, I don't know why, but a lot of churches don't like, I do know why, a lot of churches won't speak about or be frank about the spiritual aspects of not being saved, having a God except the one in your mind. And it's a dead world, and we need to have a little light shined in there. And I'm just blessed that God has used that paper to do that. Okay.
What paper is that? The Watertown.
Town Times. It's in Watertown. You go to Le Bon's in Watertown, they have it. Okay. Page 5, top of the page. That spiritual body that we talked about just a minute ago will be minus flesh and blood. Right? Who knows why? God said it. Where's it found? What's it say? What's the verse? Who knows the verse? Exactly. What does it mean? You just said it.
Flesh and blood have I none?
No. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why won't flesh and blood inherit the kingdom of God?
Because God's a spirit, and all that worship him in spirit. He's a holy being.
Yeah, but there's another reason. The blood that we have, right? Who's it the blood of?
Adam.
And how about the flesh? You think God would say, okay, I'm going to send you through the spiritual car body wash and get your body washed and so you make it in heaven?
It's
a glorified body because this body has a lifespan.
Yeah, this one's
it's temporary. And that's another key point to remember. Except for Harold's. I think Harold's body's immortal. He's been around 102 years and Elma too. I think that so. But it's not true. You know, if Harold lived another 100 years, if he lived another 100 years, it's not enough. Because when you consider the lifespan of go to the Old Testament. How old was Methuselah? 936 years, right? Right? That's not even a teardrop in all the world's oceans and all the water under the earth compared to eternity. We have to remember that. What Harold has here going working for him is a gift. You know? God's preparing him. And some of us take a little more time than others. And Errol's got some time on his hands. I love you, Errol. They do. What were you with your hand?
Is it in Genesis after Noah? Or is it... Or is it relating to Moses that God said man will now only be living 120 years?
After Noah. Noah landed and he said, okay, man's life will be 125 years, right?
120.
Conditions changed too. Climate and everything changed.
There were a lot of things happening.
all of a sudden, there was not a protective layer over the band, ultraviolet.
We just went to climate change, I think.
That was real climate change.
Yeah. Kind of dramatic, too.
Global cooling and warming and all of that.
I'm thinking it destroyed all life on Earth except for what was in the boat. So I'm thinking it was kind of really dramatic. All right. So he says that no blood, no flesh. It'll be endowed with spiritual qualities, but it will still be in the form of a perfect human body, perhaps even the one you are wearing now. I got to put my Bible in my car. I had to put something, and let me tell you why. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 44. Did we read that? Yeah. Okay, read 50, David.
There's when you said Pam, 12.
Yeah, 50. That's what Pam said. 50.
Oh, there it is, yeah. Yeah, read it.
Okay, so I tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
Okay. Okay, so let me just say this. I would find it difficult if we have in the Bible, and again, I got to put this over here because it's just coming out, okay? There was, what were the angels that were seen? Gabriel was seen.
Michael
was seen, right? Now, if you have names, you can assume that they didn't look alike, that they must have had facial traits that were different, right? Would you assume that, right? That's a human thought. I'm not saying it's a spiritual thought. It's a human thought, right? So why would it be such a far stretch to think that God would take your soul, he would take your soul and your spirit and put it in a perfect, imperishable body that resembled the one you had here. Just saying. It's a thought. It's not a doctrine. It's a thought. You can choose to believe it or not. Myself, personally, I hope we do get another face. No, we'll know each other no matter what. That's not going to be a... All right.
Exactly. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, you're getting a new name, too.
A crown.
Huh?
A new crown, new name.
You're getting a crown. You're getting some crowns. Crown. You're getting it, and I don't mean for your teeth. And you're getting you're getting one for your head. You're getting crowns. You're getting a new name. You're getting a new body, right?
Yay.
And you're getting all this stuff is new, so why would it be such a far stretch? And you know what? Let's don't even go there. Let's just say that we are going to be conformed spiritually to the image of Christ. Yep. We're doing that now. And then when we leave this body and we take up an imperishable body, and let's just leave it with the fact that we will be perfect in every way and how we look won't matter. How about that? Yeah.
It's going to be good whatever it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be good whatever it is.
Baldness will not be part of it, Ron. You know why? Baldness is imperfect. Baldness is imperfect. That's why there's no children in heaven.
Not unless you're perfectly bald.
Oh, yeah.
Are you speaking from experience?
We're even shaving our heads.
Let's bring this back. Okay.
Bring this back.
Number three. The entire being of one who is born again is so filled with the Spirit of God as to be called, a new man / creature. John 3:6. Jerry, John 3:6.
John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Okay. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. You notice we go to that verse a lot? Might be wise to bookmark that or to underline it, remember it. 5:17. Carrie.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
18 too, it tells the word.
Yeah, in 18, yeah.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
What does that mean, the ministry of reconciliation? Huh?
Just going to ask that.
Okay, what's it mean?
We're united back to God.
Yep.
Through Christ.
Yep, that's one of the things it means, but it means something else. Reconciling the world.
Yeah.
In your little world that you live in.
Bring others to reconcile.
God opens up doors and makes providential meetings, and those doors and meetings are God's way of reconciling others. You got to remember something. You know, a newspaper man told me something once, because I used to write for national and regional magazines. And a newspaper guy told me something. He says, you know what, Brian, whether you know this or not, every newspaper and every magazine editor is always looking for new material. You know why? Because they consume what they had at their last edition. They need something new. So instead of going there saying, I hope, write it with a positive, write your query with a positive outlook rather than, you know, if it's something you're interested in, do it positively. Project that in your letter, in your query. And it worked, and it's true. And the same thing applies here with us, isn't it? Doesn't it? Right? Our attitude is everything. And the way we handle things, it's everything. So that's the ministry of reconciliation. So when God opens up a door for you, you'll know it. You won't hesitate. You'll absolutely know it. And you'll walk into that door, and some of us have already done that. How about Ephesians 4:24? Well, June, we'll give you one before you have to run up to warm up the piano.
Okay.
Wait. 4:24. Let me get there. I got a dial-up Bible here. Go ahead.
And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth.
Okay. And then he says in verse 25,
therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another.
Okay, and then next?
26, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger.
And
do not give the devil an opportunity.
Okay, everybody see that? Everybody see how that works?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a new man, a new creature. That means that you do new things. If you are new, you get a new car. You get more horsepower. You're going to do new things. When you got saved, you got more power, so you should be doing new things. And if you're not doing new things, you should ask yourself, yeah, that's right. If you're not doing new things, you should be doing new things, right?
Yeah.
We all should be doing new things. All right. After regeneration takes place, things appear in an altogether new light, and the heart begins to act differently. I want to stop here. Acting differently. I have to say this, and not so much for people in this room, but for maybe people listening. If you don't have an overactive, even a hyperactive for some, interest in the things of God and in God Himself, then you need to go and read 1 John five times, at least five times. Because if you're professing Christ and you don't have an active interest in Christ, then, oh, a better idea for those of you listening. Listen to the sermon this morning. Okay. you'll hear it all in the sermon. Okay. So let's stop there, because I want to cover a few of these things next week. We'll finish it. We stopped at 1. 3:1. All right. When we pray this morning, Wink, pray for the upcoming traveling mercies for